Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Worldwide Knicks podcast. Worst episode in history will be this one right here, for me at least. It will be a defense wet dream for Alex. But yeah, we're back. December, we were apparently delivering gifts with Santa Claus, so we were busy. We're back, and what a time to be back with the Knicks. A lot happened. Finally, the Knicks made a trade. We will get into that. I will dismantle it. I will cry. I will laugh. I will grieve. Before all that, Alex, how have you been doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. So prior to Christmas, I had my son's birthday as well. And then Christmas, so birthday weekend and Christmas with two young kids. It's been pretty manic. So I've been off after Christmas, but just, yeah, stuff's got in the way. So here we are in January. I mean, I've said off the pod to you, but happy Christmas and happy New Year to you.
Likewise.
Everything after Christmas was just nice and calm and relaxed, and then all hell broke loose the other day. So we're gonna be talking about that a lot.
Yeah, like you said, December was a bit of a crazy month for both of us. Not a lot of time. It's funny because I had a lot of days off from work, but I didn't have the time to record because I went to the UK again. Christmas shopping and everything, getting things ready. So we didn't have quite the time to do it. But before we get into this trade, something big happened this month of December. We lost Mitchell Robinson for the rest of the season. It would
I don't think the injury exemption and things is kind of fully gone through. They seem to be very kind of coy about it, just like the Knicks always are these days. But so I don't know whether that's just they haven't found the right player to use it on, or whether, you know, there is a bit of doubt as to whether, you know, maybe he could come back. So I don't know. Nobody's really been talking about it recently. Everybody's just accepted that he's done for the season. But I don't know.
It's the thing with Mitch.
As far as I know, they haven't used that exception. So maybe there's a chance.
They talk about it, yeah. I mean, it's the thing about Mitch. We're always expecting it. Every time he falls down, every time he rolls over, in the back of our heads, it's like, okay, he's done. Mitch is done for the rest of the year. Bring on Nerns Noel. Bring on Taj Gibson. He's back with the Knicks. Because he's going to go down. And he, unfortunately, went down again. He's a big part of our playing style. And this injury, we were discussing it just before the pod and through this month, because we have talked Knicks, obviously, on Twitter as well, both of us. Mitch's downfall, no, sorry, Mitch going down was the Knicks' downfall defensively. We struggled defensively so, so bad. We were terrible defensively all of a sudden because Mitch went down. And maybe, I'm 90% sure to me that Mitch going down made the front office look at the roster and say, okay, it's time. We were looking to make the move or not. It's time to make the move to make us better defensively, to get the defensive wing we've been asking for so long. And so the big trade, I'll try to say this without crying. The Knicks got OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, what a name, apparently evil Dante DiVincenzo and Flynn.
That's so
poor guy.
So the first time I saw him and saw him on the bench, I just thought, I know that face from somewhere. I don't know where it's from.
I think I called him before. He was Steph Curry from Wish. He was blonde and everything. I think it was Flynn. I called him. But yeah, well, the Knicks need to give something to get something. And to me, they gave up a lot. But they gave up Emmanuel Quickly, second round pick from Detroit, and my boy, RJ Barrett. He's gone. It's done. It's over. For so long, we've been talking about this possibility, the fit with the team, the fit with Randall, and Randall with RJ, to that matter, the fit with the team, what the team needed. And we talked about this with Emmanuel Quickly, not the RJ Barrett, with Emmanuel Quickly, how him not resigning might lead to a trade. And surprisingly, they both went on this trade. We didn't give up any first round picks, which is surprising. I don't know if we would rather, give up RJ, because he was always the piece to go, but give up RJ and picks and keep Emmanuel Quickly, or the other way around, whatever. So it was weird to give up Quickly and RJ Barrett. I think we lose a lot with that offensively. Obviously, we gained a lot defensively from OG Anunoby. That first game against the Timberwolves was, again, defensive wet dreams here for Alex. He was raving about his defense, and his defense was terrific, absolutely. But it finally, Leon Rose woke up from slumber, and he pulled the trigger on a trade. It happened, a noticeable trade. Some people say it's more a big trade. Some people say it's not as big of a trade. It's a move. It's a move the Knicks needed. We talked at length how we needed a big defensive wing, a defensive guy to help out, especially with the power forwards and the big small forwards in this league. It's a guy who can help that. RJ couldn't defend it like that. Randall can't defend like that. So we needed that. And OG Anunoby, so he's with the Knicks. Again, RJ is finally out of the Knicks. Finally out of the Knicks as a traded. The front office decided. Finally. To me, it took way too long to decide, but they finally did it. I always said it, you probably heard it in 74 episodes, I've said like in 70, pick a lane. They need to pick a lane, and they finally did it. Randall, he's with Brunson, they're the guys to go to. Quickly and RJ are gone, so the young core, the young group we had are gone. And we're building around other guys, and it's finally, to me, the front office decided. They took way too long with Obi Toppin trading him or not trading him. And they did the same thing with RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. To me, especially RJ more than Quickly. But in both cases of Obi Toppin and RJ Barrett, they probably let their trade value decline a bit and then traded them away. I think they were not sure who to go with. And they decided to meet on right now the better player, Julius Randle, two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA. So I think looking at it, they picked right. They picked right. As much as it pains me to say, obviously, I mentioned at length that RJ Barrett is probably one of my favorite players as a Knick players. Probably since Melo. I say since Melo, but it's probably around the same same place as Melo to me. I really got into that new vibe, the aura people are talking now, that new Knicks, the new direction the Knicks were and the new direction the Knicks chose, and RJ was the face of that. And so I bought into that, obviously. And so it's the end of an era for the Knicks in a sense. But it's also the beginning of a new one that can lead us to greater things. We need to stop dwelling a bit. We need to make the moves. If we made one of them, we can't take too long to make another move. I think we need to, now that things, we get the ball rolling, we can't stop it. We just need to find whoever works with the team, and who's on the team and doesn't work properly needs to move. It's, I think we made it that way. It's not win now, but it's win not tomorrow, but 2 days from now, if you know what I'm trying to say. So yeah, obviously I was going to go on a bit of a rant. I'm trying to keep it short. If it was a day of the trade, there would have been a lot of sobbing. But yeah, it happened. I don't think I said it on Twitter. I said it to you guys, to you and to you guys, because with Omar, sorry, about how I don't think this makes the Knicks that much better. Defensively, yes, they're much better, but they don't seem, or if someone else steps up, but right now they don't seem the better offensive team now, because they lost two weapons they had, especially with that second unit. Let's see how that develops with Deuce McBride getting minutes, if Grimes gets back into rhythm. So in that sense, offensively, we are not a better team. Defensively, we are. I don't know how much one outweighs the other. But to me, it's kind of a sideways move in terms of, okay, we fixed a hole, but now we have another hole that we didn't have. Now we had to fix it. So it's, I mean, again, it's only been one game. The second game will be tonight, as right after we record. So it's too early to tell that, to say anything as if it's a bad trade or a good trade in that sense, how it works. But yeah, it's my early opinion was that we fixed a hole, but we dug another one on the other end. You can go, Alex. I have to rest.
You have to go and rest, yeah. Well, I mean, I said to you both at the time, you and Omar, I said, I think the trade was fair. I don't think you get really trades nowadays that are just like, a steal one way or the other. I think, you know, front offices are just so, you know, backed up by all the advanced stats and all sorts that you know, that the medical side of things, I don't think much gets missed. And, you know, I think it's rare that, you know, somebody would get fleeced nowadays. I don't really see that. But I think the trade is balanced. And as you kind of alluded to there, I think in different ways, though, I think, you know, Quickly and RJ are kind of an answer for Toronto. They're a little bit kind of what Toronto need. I was trying to think of a kind of respectful way to say this, but I think a lot of these kind of young guys, that certainly the young core that the Knicks had built over the time, like Obi and Grimes and Quickly and RJ, I think as players, I didn't ever see a kind of star potential in any of them, like proper star potential. I thought they were all really good players, but there was a definite ceiling the way that we were going. And I think the roster and the team as a whole was starting to stagnate a little bit. And I think the Knicks just needed to freshen it up. And I think OG, I mean, it's early days, but we've got a good sample size of what he's done in Toronto. That I just think, you know, when we're looking at playoff basketball, because we are a playoff team now, you know, having a kind of defensive core, Hartenstein and Mitch, and you've got OG, you've got, you know, you got Hart and Grimes and Randall, and, you know, these are all guys that are, and DiVincenzo, these are all guys, scrappy players that are kind of going to fight for every ball sort of thing. I just think that it's, yes, there's a hole there, but there's obviously more trades coming. And I think they're just set up better now to take that next step. You know, whoever comes in next, I think the pathway to the next stage, hopefully towards contention and, you know, finals and conference finals and so on. I think that path is a little bit smoother now, that the way that the roster's set up. I mean, RJ, yes, I loved RJ. You know, as you said, you know, he came in, came in at a difficult time, you know, where the roster and the franchise was pretty rock bottom, you know, and you know, it's a tough thing for a rookie to come in and effectively kind of lead from that point. You know, eventually we had Randall that kind of stepped up and took the reins a little bit as well. But, you know, he came into a difficult situation, like a lot of these rookies do, these high draft picks. You know, often they'll come in franchises that are at rock bottom, you know, kind of looking like Cade or somebody like that, you know.
Just Cade trying Cunningham to get you off.
He's obviously talented, but you know the rest of the roster is an absolute you know shit show. You know, so it's difficult for these guys a lot of the time. But that can be the making of you as well. And I think he's had amazing experience. You know, dealing with the New York spotlight, and you know, it's going back to his hometown team. I don't think he's going to be the leader there, so he can just hopefully thrive and go from there. Quickly, I've always had an up and down relationship with him. I just do not get this kind of talk about him being like some kind of star. You know, he was the main, you know, he was the main cog of the trade, and you know, RJ was just thrown in and all this kind of stuff. I just don't see that at all. Quickly's had huge ups and downs, and again, like with RJ, I think he's a guy that can get you so far. Certainly, as one of the leaders of your team, but I don't see him as a kind of guy that's gonna lead the Raptors onto anything particular, any particular great heights. He's a really good player. He's a fantastic personality. He's just got that amazing energy
you think he gets media training as well? You think he has media training as well?
Yeah. I've taken that off my bingo card for today. I knew that one was coming. I guess I've never got overly high on either player. I've loved both players. I've loved them on the Knicks, but they're at the stage now that they've gone obviously elsewhere. I say RJ is obviously happy being back in Toronto, and quickly he's going to hopefully get a lot of extra chances. That is what he wants, you know. So I don't think there's any bad blood or anything going to come out of it from that. And yeah, just wish them well. And but yeah, they've got to kind of go drop back in the standings and try and build the Raptors back up again. Whereas the Knicks are, you know, pushing on, hoping for playoffs, hoping for better things. So, and I think OG is just going to be be a solid piece for that. As you said, he's not a star, but you know, defensive wings, 3-and-D wings, you know, are going to be expensive, and you're going to have to give good pieces up to get them. It's really surprised me that, you know, that wasn't the one where we pushed in the picks and we went for players as well. But, you know, the Knicks have been trying to get rid of RJ for a long time now. And
that's harsh. Get rid of. Come on.
Well, I mean, you know, you as you said, well, it was maybe worded wrong, but as you said, you know, it's been known that he's going to be the piece that's in the trade. You know, he's probably one of the higher assets that are on the roster. So any kind of big trades that we're going to make, he's going to be the one that's going to be included in it. Going back to the Donovan Mitchell days, at least. So
I mean, it's like I said, it's the Knicks never really, or the front office, Tibbs, whoever, never really decided, okay, let's go with these guys and not with those guys. It's not like I'm trying to make a divide between them. It's like they're different different ages, so different gaps. And RJ got into the team and quickly got into the team, and they never really went full on rebuild with going just young. Like, you have so many teams doing it around the league. And that's the thing that RJ, I always say this, in a different world, in a different universe, we would lose games, definitely. But we would have the Play the Kids dream of Quickly and RJ Barrett is probably Grimes, RJ and Obi Toppin playing with Mitchell Robinson or whatever, they would lose games, but that's where they would develop and be different assets. I think about it, yeah, RJ never really slotted well into the role the Knicks wanted him to play. And he has a different style of play. He's not the guy to stand in the corner and shoot threes, and he was doing that a lot, missing a lot of threes, because he's not that guy. And obviously, last game of Toronto Raptors played against the Cavaliers was the most Raptors game of the season. With all the Knicks fans watching Manuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, I was watching that game. So I had the Knicks game was early here. It was 8 p.m. game. So I watched that game. After that, I stayed up late watching Toronto Raptors basketball, watch RJ Barrett and Quickley. So I'm demented. The fans wanted to see that. And the game you saw from both Quickley and RJ, they started. Quickly, finally getting the starting spot, he deserved. From what he showed with the Knicks, I mean, we discussed this at length here as well, that a young guy playing well, like Emmanuel Quickley, he will want to try and start somewhere else. And this is his chance with the Toronto Raptors. I think it's a great fit for both Quickley and RJ Barrett, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And people talking about how Quickley was the prize of the trade and how the Raptors just accepted RJ Barrett as a throw-in. It's like RJ Barrett is a Canadian player playing for the Toronto Raptors from Canada. That's not a throw-in. That's like, yeah, we get Quickley, probably the point guard we want to play with Scottie Barnes for the future. And we have this story about the returning RJ Barrett, who played in the team that finally drove Canada into the world, to the Olympics. So it's a beautiful story as well with this trade for the Toronto Raptors. It's not just a throw-in. It's everything surrounding RJ Barrett. It's a great fit. And if you saw the game, I don't know if you ended up seeing the game the day after, Alex, the energy around everything that RJ did from the Toronto fans was awesome, was amazing. So it's not just a throw-in. Saying that it's all of a sudden RJ's contract is atrocious. And I like that on Twitter. People are talking, the same people who are talking about how the contract, RJ's contract was an albatross, and that's why we couldn't trade him, and the Toronto Raptors accepted him. Like 10 minutes later, they were screaming on how much OG Anunoby wanted to renew his contract, like a lot more than RJ Barrett, and probably covered a good chunk of Emmanuel Quickley. So it's funny how tables have turned. Like Julius Randle has an amazing contract for his worth, and so it's Brunson has an amazing contract for his worth. RJ Barrett he could have contributed more. I'm not saying that, but he had not a terrible contract, like people were saying. And so to the Toronto Raptors, he was never a throw-in. Like, they got two good players, young players, to play around their young star, coming star in Scottie Barnes. So, and like the Knicks are making a trade. We don't know who it is. The Raptors are making a trade as well. So, like, Siakam is gone.
Yeah,
to me, it's everything. It looks like Siakam is gone, and you bring someone else. I don't know who can you
bring. Andrew Wiggins or something like that. Yeah, maybe they go full Canada. I don't know.
No, I love, and I don't remember who said it on Twitter. I'm sorry, but the Pacers were interested in Siakam, so the Toronto Raptors can make the funniest thing ever, and they get a ton of fans from New York and get Obi Toppin to join Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. Yeah. It would be tremendous.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's like I said, it's to me, it's end of an era. All the young core that made us believe in this team again, because they made us believe obviously with Julius Randle playing, leading the way, but this young core, this young team, their energy, they brought an energy to the Garden that we haven't seen in so long. And this is a team that went to the playoffs with us and went to the second round.
Yeah,
that quickly was terrible last year in the playoffs. Yes, but the year prior, he was good in the playoffs. RJ had a tremendous playoff run, so they played with us. They got the Garden rocking in some points. And yeah, man, it's again, we picked our lane, we picked our highway to whatever we this ends up going.
This is always going to be the Princeton. Way, man. It's always going to be
the way that
Dolan wants. It's always going to be the way that Rose wants.
It's a good core, man. Brunson and Randle are walking all stars right now, playing more Randle than Brunson, to be honest. But they're can be possible all stars or all NBA players, and so you have to. There to say you have a better team now than what you had with Melo. Melo never had this good of a team around him. Tyson Chandler was amazing and J.R. Smith was pretty good, but it's the way we're well built. I mean, we didn't, unless they trade for Borgnani. Yeah, probably. I mean, it's.
You know, the quest for stars and things. I mean, with Ewing and with Melo as well, it was just a case of, well, we've got one. Like, I mean, I know with Melo anyway, you had Stoudemire, you had Chandler. You know, there were pieces there, but it was less thought about how it all kind of fitted together, you know. And it feels like that this current roster, I know we've only had one game and, you know, it's, you know, it does make sense, you know. And, you know, the big criticism was, oh, we've got too many guards or we've got too many of these kind of, kind of small wing players and things like that, and we don't have enough cover at center, and it's just like, well, I don't know, things just seem to make a little bit more sense now, and you know, just looking at that starting lineup, for instance, you would have, you know, Hartenstein as the anchor, and you've got OG and you've got DiVincenzo that are kind of on the wings cutting in shooting threes. That leaves a paint open for Brunson and Randle. That's just simplistic way of looking at it, but you know, the team just seems to have a lot more balance to it. You know, whereas, you know, RJ was, always looking for that inside into the paint as well, which is just going to clog up with Brunson and Randle and quickly as well. And it's just like, it just seems to make a little bit more sense. You've got OG who comes in, who, yes, I know he's made noises about, you know, he wants an expanded role and things like that, but at the end of the day, he looks like a guy that's just, you know, defense first, you know, shoots threes, but, you know, just quietly goes about his business, you know. And as I said, that's just the kind of player that you kind of want between Brunson and Randle, and somebody that, you know, that's just super reliable, basically. Come playoff time, you know, if we are filling up the shooting guard spot, I think, you know, and I know you and Omar weren't too enamored with Murray, whatever his name is, DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray.
But, you know, there maybe a shooting guard that's got a kind of defensive mindset potentially that, you know, can protect Brunson a little bit in the playoffs. You know, you don't have the Donovan Mitchell, for instance, with Brunson. Just seems to be just two players that are just too similar. I know Donovan Mitchell is a capable defender, but you just got two small guards that could be just bullied off the ball when it's playoff time and you're not quite getting the calls that you should be. It's a more physical game. And somebody like Murray might be a better answer in that respect. So, he's obviously not the perfect star, superstar signing, but you're not going to get a star or superstar at this time of year without making like a massive overpay, I don't think. So again, I think we just need to look at filling gaps and kind of filling them with players that can, you know, have a defensive mindset and that can help us in the playoffs. And you know, it's not necessarily like if you sign a DeJounte Murray, it doesn't mean like he's on your roster for 5 years. Do you know? You quite possibly could just flip him in the summer. Do you know? Like, and I think that's where a lot of the criticism comes from. It's just like, well, is this guy going to win us the championship? Well, no. You know, that's where you're looking for, you know, a team effort. You know, you've got Brunson, you've got Randall at the head of the snake, you know, and these guys are going to be complementary to that. Yeah, if you want to make other moves in the summer, go after Donovan Mitchell or whatever, then that's something that's happening in the summer. We're thinking about the here and now. At the moment, there's every player that you sign or you trade for does not have to be on your roster in 10 years' time or 5 years' time. As long as you're making moves that are improving the team, improving the roster, then you know it should be something that's considered.
This next move you're mentioning that the Knicks can make or will make or whatever, when they make it, I think it's another, well, depends on who's available, obviously, for the trade or to trade. But again, it's a decision the front office needs to make. Are Brunson and Randall good enough to lead this team? Because if you make a trade, it's different to make a trade for the DeJounte Murray, or Donovan Mitchell. I mean, to me, they're not the same caliber player. They're not the same type of player.
No,
you do not flip a Donovan Mitchell, but DeJounte Murray, to me, is flippable.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great player. He's a great, very good player.
It's on a good contract as well.
Levels.
Yeah,
it's the levels as well. I mean, if you trade for Donovan Mitchell, you're going, okay, it's Randall, if you keep all three of them, because there was a lot of talk that Randall might be moving. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, move Randall after you make space by trading away RJ Barrett. Make the decision. Because it's a Donovan Mitchell trade, whoever you gave up or how many picks you give up, or players who do you give? Donovan Mitchell is a win now move. DeJounte Murray is more a type of move. Let's see what happens this year, and let's see next year where we can land him. So there, it's
even Donovan Mitchell. You're not going to get Donovan Mitchell at this time of year. That's a move for the summer at least. I don't know why everybody thinks we can just go and get Donovan Mitchell right now. The Cavs are not going to give us Donovan Mitchell right now.
Right now, I would much easier. It's much easier to get a guy like who's been talked a lot recently around Twitter as well, which is Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah,
offensive guy off the bench. It's what we needed. What we need now. What we had with quickly, but it's what we need now. Jordan Clarkson might be a good alternative, but again, he's similar to DiVincenzo type of play, and I don't know whether that leaves Grimes. Because we resigned Deuce, by the way. You forgot with all this. We resigned Deuce to a contract, Deuce McBride. To me, it's a little bit why. Deuce McBride is what it is. He's this generation's Frank Ntilikina.
Hmm.
He's there. He plays good defense somewhat. He's not good offensively. He's there. I don't know if with a nine-man rotation, he can be the ninth man, and we can be, well, those minutes can be competitive. Because I think when we this game we played against Timberwolves, he was one of the first off the bench with Josh Hart. As I remember correctly, in the second half, he came out like he played 2 minutes. So it did not work those first minutes because that unit, that second unit now looks really depleted. And if a move comes this year before the deadline, I think it's a minor adjustment move to make that second unit better. I mean, it's in the next year, maybe this summer, we can try and make another move, another big move, if someone's available to make this team even better. As you said, why would Mitchell now leave the Cavs only if he demanded a trade? I don't see anyone demanding trades right now. It's still too early, or players available are not what we need.
It's not as if the Cavs are miles out of things either. Do you know? It's like they've got no reason to give him up, and it's not like if he was maybe up for. He was unrestricted or restricted in this summer, then I could see that the Cavs would panic a little bit. But it's 2025, he's up, and yes, it's going to be a problem for them. And they probably will trade him, but they're not going to do it now. It just makes absolutely no sense at all. I would say it was a less than 1% chance, and yet. I would be so surprised if they did. It doesn't make any sense for the Cavs. Obviously, it makes sense for the Knicks.
Their teams, all of these teams are fighting for playoff spots right now. I mean, especially with the play-in, makes those trades more difficult. Like the Toronto Raptors we've been talking, are 13-20, and they're two games away from the 10th spot, which is a play-in spot. Do they want to go to the play-in spot? I mean, it's weird.
They've traded with us for players rather than picks tells me that they're still wanting to fight for it.
They wouldn't fight for it, but they got their young players. You know what I mean? The trade with us, it wasn't for Josh Hart and Taj Gibson, throwing names out there, older guys. It was for two young guys who were at the same timetable as their future star. So players, you know what you get. Draftees are always what can they be? Look at the Sixers. They drafted for so long number ones, and only one guy is actually good, and Joel Embiid. The rest of them are. Not in the league or barely in the league, so it is what it is with the draftees. But the teams who are struggling, I mean, who do you trade for? Are you trading for Jaden Ivey that you wanted before? Are you trading with the Bulls? Please, God, no. Because the Bulls, Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan, who's being talked to. I mean,
Caruso. Caruso, a lot of people are interested in Caruso. I just don't. I'm just not a Caruso fan at all.
He plays defense. Come on, Alex. He plays defense.
Yeah. That's about it, though. That's all he could do. He's cardio. You know, he's just like, just runs about all day. It's like headless chicken. You know, he just runs around in circles, bright red face, and everybody thinks he's great. But, would you have Josh Hart or would you have Alex Caruso, that kind of thing? You know, I'd take Hart all day long.
Josh Hart, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, he's not a position of need for us. And, there's other players that we need right now.
Now, something that was around this week, would you rather, obviously this is a what-if situation, would you rather the Knicks made this trade with giving up RJ and quickly for OG and Anobi, Clyde Frazier's worst nightmare? Or would you rather make the trade that it's announced, it was talked between the Knicks and the Celtics, Emmanuel Quickly for Marcus Smart?
I hate watching Marcus Smart as a player. He's obviously incredible defensively, which to me would be, as you said, that's what I love. But he's not a good shooter. He's a flopper as well. just again the type of player that I can't stand. He's got a punchable face, which we've talked about. Several players that, you know, that's a good enough reason not to want him on your team. Ananobi all day long. It's not even a joke. Yeah.
The choice is having Arzy or not, but OG Ananobi is
more
valuable to the Knicks than Marcus Smart.
Yeah. I read about a name out of the blue today, which at first I laughed at, and then I thought, Chris Paul.
Yeah, I read that. How he's going to get cut by the Warriors, or possibly, and the Knicks could get him.
Just talking about running the second unit and things. I don't know how he'd feel about being a bench player, but there was that incredible stat that when he was on when he joined the Warriors, I think of all the games he's ever played since he joined the NBA, he's started every single game. He's never sat on the bench once in his whole career. I don't know if that's changed since he's been on the Warriors, but I could not believe that. Coming back from injury, whenever he's done that, he's always gone straight back in the starting lineup for a player that's played as many games as he has.
He is 38. He should look at the bench as a possibility now.
Yeah.
So I will just check that information because I actually don't. I'm not sure he is starting for the. No, he started 9 games this year for the. Right. He played 30, so he is coming.
I think before this year, he'd started every game in the NBA.
Yeah, he did. He did. There's another game here, according to BasketballReference.com, where he did not start a game. But his numbers, Paul this year is ever. Yeah, I mean, 9 points per game, 3.7 rebounds, 7.3 assists. He's a ball handler that can help the second unit. But still,
he's a kind of coach on the court as well. You know, he's like incredibly intelligent player, if he is available in buyout, certainly, then I would absolutely have a look at him. It might end up like a Kemba situation, but you know, would we lose that much in the end of the day, as long as we're not trying to start him? Obviously with Kemba, he was kind of forced into the starting lineup from the get go, but with Brunson there, why not? Yeah, if we can get him in as a bench piece, I would definitely have a look at it. It just shocked me when I first saw it, and then I thought,
terrible.
It's not a terrible idea.
That would still be an issue.
Wiggins is the other one. Wiggins is the other kind of player that. Yeah, I know.
Ananobi and Wiggins.
I know.
I don't know. It's
I mean, Tibbs has got his experience with Wiggins, so maybe it's just one where he makes a call. You know, like does he see the fit?
Wiggins is the guy.
Not the guy, but just somebody that you could maybe get cheaper than.
Yeah, not the guy to get. That's it. I don't know if he's the one to get, because the thing is, if you trade with the Golden State Warriors, they will want players.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They will want players. One thing was talked about was Klay Thompson for the Knicks. I don't know if you remember this one.
Mm.
Klay Thompson for the Knicks. And we would give up, it was Klay Thompson and a pick or whatever. And we would give up RJ Barrett and Quentin Grimes to help. Who's it? Oh my God. One of the greatest Steph Curry forgot one of the best players in the NBA. His name to help Steph Curry. So they need players. They're not. We're not going to help them with picks. So they would want players. And I don't know. Well, we lost the players we could give them. Basically, we traded them away for OG and Anunoby. That's the thing.
RJ would be an interesting player in the Warriors. You know, he'd certainly get his paint touches anyway. But with their, you know, they've got so many perimeter players. You know,
it would be good.
Not saying he'd be a star or anything. I'd just say he'd be an interesting fit.
Yeah. More ball handlers. Curry could play off ball if needed as well. Yeah, it would be interesting. But okay, we've been talking a lot about what the Knicks and how they look and potential trades. But let's finally, 45 minutes in, talk about the guy. The one guy we got. I mean, Malachi Flynn and Achiuwa are what they are. Achiuwa did not have the greatest start for the Knicks. He was there. He did things.
He was there.
He sat on the bench. And Flynn, he didn't miss a single game this year, and now he's injured.
Yeah.
He injured himself on the way to New York. But the big guy we got was OG Anunoby, obviously.
Yeah.
I will just let you go first on this one. What did you think about that first game watching Anunoby out there with the Knicks?
I've said to you many times, I've watched a lot of Toronto. I've got a very I would go so far as say they're as close to a second team as I could possibly get. You know, I've got family in Toronto. I've been to Toronto. It's a great city. I love it. You know, their fans, when they were winning the title, they were fantastic, you know, and it was just great to see kind of a team that was out of the ordinary picks for winning things. You know, it wasn't a Lakers or Celtics or Warriors or Heat or whatever. It's just great to see somebody else stepping up, you know. And yeah, so I do have a soft spot for the Raptors. So I do watch quite a few games, you know, of them. I've always loved Anunoby's game. You know, he's just, he's my favorite kind of player, just that kind of hustling player that can do a bit of everything, but just really focused on good, strong defense and being in the right place and guarding, you know, all five positions. Do you know that to me is just, I mean, a lot of people love watching basketball just to see all the dunks and see all the three-pointers and everything. No, to me, watching a player like that, that's my heaven. Do you know, that's what I want to see when I watch a basketball game. I want to see somebody give it all. Do you know, like the last few months of the season, last season when Josh Hart was in? Do you know, I was just watching games just like, I absolutely love this guy. Do you know, he just gives absolutely everything, hustling everything, doing a bit of everything. And you know, that to me is what makes me enjoy a basketball game, not all the flashy plays, you know, the highlight plays and things. So, yeah, I mean, how could somebody like me not, you know, love what I saw from that first game? You know, and I know it's only one game, but I saw that, even just saw the cutting from him and DiVincenzo. It just, everything just seemed to make sense. And, I just loved it, you know, and you know, long may it continue. Like, we've got an obvious can't lose this game tonight. So, which is if obviously the PTSD kicks in, but I'd just love to see him, you know, continue as he is. Do you know, he just seems such an unassuming, kind of cool, quiet guy that just gets about his business, you know, which again, I love. You know, there's no arrogance, there's no flash about him. You know, he just gets on and does his job, which again, I love. So yeah, what's not to love after that game? So, and just a point about the Timberwolves, you know, Timberwolves have been absolutely fantastic all season. And Edwards, I think is on the cusp of being a proper top level superstar. Do you know, like, he can do absolutely anything he wants, and you could see how he was getting frustrated by Anunoby. I know he had a big stat line, but a lot of those points and a lot of that impact that he had was when Anunoby was off the floor. Like just seeing that as well. Do you know somebody at the top of their game that was struggling? Yeah, it's brilliant to see.
Yeah, so I was laughing and because I know Alex absolutely raved. Well, you don't know, but I know he absolutely raved about OG Anunoby. I watching him play and I watched the plays again, so I know Alex is very, very happy with this guy on the Knicks.
But even like a year ago, when he, you know, he was first linked with the Knicks, you know, I was saying to you and I was saying to Omar, I was like, this guy's a player, and do you know, he's maybe not. At the time, it was too early to think about trading like RJ and things like that. But I was just like, I'd love this guy in the Knicks, you know. And the worry was about his, you know, what kind of contract he was going to give. But yeah. I saw that thing about him saying that, you know, he'd necessarily go to New York and not necessarily on the biggest contract he could get. So we might get a little bit of a discount on him as well.
I don't know. If we continue to, if he shows how important he is for this team, he will want a big money. And I don't know. Well, maybe more than Fournier money. I don't know.
But he's still going to be.
Doesn't matter if he.
He's still going to be a third option. It doesn't matter. You know, so he's going to get paid like a third option.
I mean, it doesn't matter if he plays well, if he shows up well, like he did last game, because what I read from. I didn't watch as many games as from the Raptors as you did. Probably full game of the Raptors I saw was the championship game. That playoff run with Kawhi Leonard, I watched it all. The Knicks were gone, so yeah, mm-hmm. We'll figure. I watched that entire. I followed the Raptors closely that, and it was the last time. And OG Anunoby wasn't as important as he was right now, or as good as he is right now. Yeah. So if he is able to be as active, as important for the Knicks as he was last game, if he continued to do that, I'm all for it. I mean, welcome OG, welcome. Long may it continue. But what I was going to say that what I read from people, Raptors fans, was that his defense is always there. So it's great. That game against Timberwolves is a regular OG Anunoby game. Yeah. His issue is he's very inconsistent on offense.
Sure.
And
you can see that.
Yeah, and that's the problem there. If he can catch a nice rhythm and have those 15, 16 points per game, that helps. Because my biggest peeve with this trade was that we traded away 18, 19 point per game guy in RJ Barrett, and we traded away a 15, 14, whatever, around that area, point per guy Emmanuel Quickly, plus the assists. They both averaged around 3 assists or 2 assists per game, so that's a lot of offense that OG Anunoby needs to deliver at least a portion of that. He needs to cover at least one of them to me to be acceptable. Because I don't want to overplay Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. Because that game against Timberwolves at that fourth quarter, they were a bit gassed. And you could tell they were gassed. And there was no other offense. There was nowhere to go on offense. That's where you really felt a guy like Quickly and RJ could help handling the ball and doing something. Because they were tired. And it's going to happen if we have no one else picking up the ball and initiating and doing that. So that was my thing with Anunoby as well, with the inconsistency scoring-wise. He needs to... Well, this is having a bigger role. being that consistent scorer. Okay, you want a bigger role? Be a third, a solid third option for us. Be what we wanted RJ Barrett to be and more. You know, it's obviously defense wins games. Obviously, yes, but you need to score the basketball as well. And we know if Brunson, we know this team, and it's not because Anunoby is there that if Brunson doesn't score, we win games. It happened multiple times. Brunson didn't score, we struggled, or Randall didn't score, we struggled. Especially if RJ was having a not so good of a game. So
yeah,
it's my only thing moving forward that I hope OG covers and improves, to that matter, on offense and helps the Knicks on both ends as well.
I think you're right. I think OG will cover one of those players, and as we've mentioned, there is another trade coming. So whoever comes in is going to cover the other. I'm pretty confident in that. So I'm not worried from that respect. But until that time comes, I think Grimes and Hart and DiVincenzo can pick up the slack. So I think we'll be okay.
If DiVincenzo can score 38 points every night, I'll take it.
If he can absolutely average that until the end of the season, then yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. But yeah, man, we got OG. I know I was. It's not rough on him when the trade happened, obviously, because when my favorite players were traded.
Sure, yeah.
But OG is a great player. He's always been a great player. And we will improve with him. Let's see. And Tibbs got to fix those rotations. But by the way, I need to do this, Alex. I'm sorry. I need to the little shot. it makes so clear this is not vouching for Cam Reddish, obviously, but it's like. Cam Reddish did not play for weeks because he did not know defensive scheme and the offensive scheme. OG Anunoby learned everything, and Achiuwa learned everything on the fucking plane.
Did you see the Brunson quote?
Yeah, I mean,
the Brunson quote was amazing.
He doesn't. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to cut. I mean, just cut.
Just make it as I go along. Well, that's what I mean. If that's OG Anunoby when he's just making things up as he goes along, wait until he has a few training.
I'm just saying that Tibbs thing. Oh, he is not ready. He needs to learn the play set and everything. That's bull. It was always bull, and we know it.
Tibbs knew fine well that he just wasn't right for the team. That was a decision from above, I think, that was forced on him. So,
I mean, if he was able to, he's the wing guy. He's the he was the wing defense first wing we got from OG, but obviously worse than OG. But we had it there. But whatever, it's just a screw Cam Reddish. He's in Lakers. Let him be. Let him go. I don't. It's not. It's just a little. Little joke on Tibbs because I find it hilarious. Like he's playing,
it's okay.
It's obviously that the Raptors, so they knew the plays because they stole our.
I'll have a little one back on you then. just about your best mate Stephen A. Smith. New quote tonight: I am a bigger star than most of the New York Knicks. That's a damn shame.
He's an idiot. He's an idiot. Obviously, he's an idiot. He's an idiot, and he doesn't know. He's the character he created. He created a character based on bashing the Knicks, and now the Knicks are good. He still bashes them and looks like an idiot. Knicks were bad.
Yeah. I'm glad that as a non-US person, that I will have to actually seek out. I would actually have to go onto YouTube or whatever to actually find sitting and watching his TV show. Whereas, you know, if you're in the US, you just turn on the TV on the sports and he's just there.
He's there. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, we would actually have to make an effort to actually see him. And I never, ever, ever have watched his show once. The only time I know Stephen, the only reason I know Stephen A. Smith is because of clips on Twitter. That's it. I've never watched one of his shows. Yeah. Ever.
I watched it a few times. I mean, when he is not in character mode, he can have a little insight. But when he's on the show, just being the character that he is, the Knicks hater and whatever, it gets a little annoying, especially now that the Knicks are better and they're improving and doing good moves instead of trading for Andrea Bargnani. Yeah. That was the last trade we did with the Raptors was Andrea Bargnani. So it's a step up. It's just what Alex is alluding here is that I agreed with Stephen A. when he said, well, the Knicks need a move. This is not a very impressive move for the trade for OG Anunoby because the Knicks still need another guy. And I said on Twitter, man, he didn't say anything wrong. He said what we're all asking. Like 90% of Knicks Twitter is talking about Jordan Clarkson, DeJounte Murray, Donovan Mitchell. But if Stephen A. says it, it's ridiculous. Like, I know he is ridiculous. 99% of his.
I fall for it every time, and it's just like I can't believe I'm getting annoyed at this idiot again. It's just he says it in such a condescending way. Do you know that doesn't move me? That doesn't impress me. And just like, well, it doesn't have to. Do you know it's not the big star move that everybody's talking about. Do you know it's like he's a building piece. He's a piece of the puzzle. Do you know he's like nobody's pretending that this is like trading for LeBron or trading for Doncic or somebody like that. Do you know like nobody's pretending that's what it is. You know it cost us two good players and a second round pick. Do you know that's not a star trade. Do you know that's just a functional move. Do you know that's trying to improve the roster. That's not. So I don't know, you know, like, I don't know the point of, you know, I know he's just looking for attention and he's looking for a reaction. And yeah, I was just as always disappointed in myself for reacting to anything Stephen A. Smith says.
I mean, it's an opinion. We have worse opinions on Twitter. Interact with daily. So we have worse opinions there. It's not.
That's true.
That's surprising that people can talk, can say shit. So, it's people are not used to the Knicks doing good trades, not doing crazy trades. They're doing good moves. I mean, people would probably see the Bulls, what the Bulls are doing right now, fumbling and being nothing. It's what the Knicks would do. Normally, you know, and now the Knicks did not make those trades for they didn't sign Zach LaVine, didn't sign DeMar DeRozan like people wanted him to sign. They didn't make the bad moves. They made solid moves, improved the roster consistently. They didn't try to jump it. So and OG Anunoby is sorry, oh my god, just coughing all over. He's a good move. It's not an amazing move that changes the franchise, but it's a good move, a solid move. So it's not, I agree in a sense with Stephen A, it's not impressive move. It's impressive in a sense because it's the Knicks and they're not doing a terrible trade. But so in that sense, it's not an amazing, incredible move, but it's a good move. It's something, we can build on this.
That's not the point of him actually saying that, though. He's saying it as an arrogant way of, you know, that's not what I want. You know, I want the Donovan Mitchell. I want this. I want that. Get away from it. Like, I don't care about this. You know, like, it's just like such a dick.
He will only be impressed after the Knicks win a title.
Yeah. And probably, he'll pretend that probably. He's like the biggest Knicks fan in the world when he does.
Yeah. And he celebrates the Knicks and he cheers, but it's again, it's the character and it's what gives him the views, which gives him talk all over the world, all over the basketball world. And he helped making the Knicks the laughing stock of the NBA. He helped a lot.
So, yeah.
Man, it's the Knicks play. Let's go into, let's leave sadness with Stephen A. Smith and go into more positive things. let's hope, because the Knicks play basketball again. They play tonight.
2 minutes. Yeah,
in a couple of minutes. We're just wrapping this. Yeah, we're going to wrap this up to watch the Knicks. I've been catching my eye with the Raptors game. Yeah, sorry, guys. I will catch Raptor games when I can. Yeah, the Knicks are going to play now. So what are you expecting for this week, Alex? I think the OG and OB effect will have a similar effect like the Josh Hart had last year, or was that a Josh Hart thing, the 9-game winning streak that he went on with the Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule's certainly looking a lot nicer than it did in the last couple of months. So
I don't know what that is, a nice schedule?
A lot of home games as well, which again, don't really know much about those, but so much on the road. I think we've got one of the highest amount of home games left in the NBA. So just the way the weird schedules worked out. So if we don't beat the Bulls tonight, I'm going to be really annoyed, because that's one of the most winnable games of the season. Like,
it's the one to win, right? That's the one. Yeah.
They've got, Vucevic is out. Obviously, Lonzo Ball's out. I think Williams is probably going to be out as well. Cody White's been playing well. Still got DeRozan.
He is. Yeah.
But, you know, that's 1.5, 2 good players, you know, Drummond's obviously had these ups and downs, but Drummond's just, yeah, he's not a factor if you, he shouldn't be a factor.
With OG Anunoby on a team, you're scared of DeMar DeRozan?
No, exactly. So, like, we shouldn't be, you know, like, PTSD or not, we should be turning up and stomping these teams, do you know, and especially being in the Garden. And if they lose that one, it's a bit ridiculous. So, I think we've got a back to back with the Sixers and help me out. Who's the other back-to-back?
It's the Sixers and the Wizards. Of course, we have a back to back. So yeah. We play the Bulls tonight. We play the Sixers. We play a back to back game. We play the Wizards, and then we play. Let's just go the other two games of the week, of next week. We play the Blazers and we play the Mavericks, the Mavs. So it's, these five games, are like
the Blazers have really dropped off as well. So there should be three definite wins in there. And yeah, between the Mavs and the Sixers, you're like, oh, maybe we can pick up one out of those two. So I'd hope for a 4-1 and. Yeah. Most likely a 3-2.
Oh, okay. So I was looking, I was seeing that you were Mr. Positive this week, but you came back down to earth. Yeah, well, just when I'm at
with the roster kind of, you know, being a bit kind of jumbled up at the moment, I don't think we can expect too much. There's going to be an odd, dodgy performance in there, I think.
It's the back-to-back as well, so it's hard to tell with the back-to-backs and how we play the Sixers, if Embiid plays or not, if he says, screw it, I'm gonna sleep in tonight. Or not. It's weird. Yeah, 3-2 might be a good thing. We'll probably be back before the game against the Mavericks. Let's try to do that. Schedule's a bit all over the place. Yeah, let's try to do that. Yeah. Let's go. It's the new era of the Knicks. The new week starts now. It's the game was the pilot, the game against the Timberwolves, and what a pilot, against one of the best teams in the NBA this season. And let's see this week how it goes, how the chemistry flows, how it gels well, how the rotations, because they have changed. They have to change with the Knicks. See how they flow as well. See how people respond. People who have to respond, how they do it. Because the thing I wanted to say, and I forgot, just before we wrap this up. If the trade happens this season still, it depends on Quentin Grimes. Not putting the pressure on him, but if he shows up and he plays well in that second unit and he is able to help play with Brunson or Randall, whoever he plays with in that with a second unit, if he comes back, Grimes, we want him, and the Grimes we expected, maybe we don't need to trade right away. Because we have Grimes there and Deuce getting the minutes, seeing how it works as well. So it might go well. It might go sour. Let's see how it happens as well. Hopeful for the future for the New York Knicks. It's weird times being hopeful for the Knicks. It's weird times, man. That's why we need to cut some slack for Stephen A. Smith, because he doesn't know how to act. He doesn't know how to get the money if the Knicks are good.
Yeah.
So thanks again, guys. Thanks again for listening to the Worldwide Knicks podcast. Me and Alex signing off right here. We're back for 2024. Let's hope this is a good year for the Knicks. A good year for the former players that leave us. Good year for all of you who are listening. Have a happy new year. We'll probably listen to this on the 5th of January, but happy new year still. Follow us on X. Follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to listen to us. Interact with us on X, me and Alex. You'll probably see who's who talking, because we have slightly different opinions in some topics. Thanks for listening again. Hope you guys enjoy this one, and see you on the next one.